Hi, and thank you for downloading this podcast from Millpool Hill Church. My name is Richard Pidgley, and I'm the minister at the church. Today I'd like to talk to you for just a few moments about having a grateful heart towards God. I can remember hearing about a man who was very depressed. He went to his doctor, hoping that the doctor would prescribe him some antidepressants. But instead, the doctor said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go home and think about somebody in the past that has been a blessing to you, somebody that's helped you. I'd like you to consider this person and write a letter to them, thanking them for their help in your life." The man sat down, scratched his head, and after a few moments, he thought about an old lady, Mrs. Jones, who had been his school teacher. And so he wrote to her, thanking her for her patience with him as a small boy, for teaching him to tie his shoelaces, for helping him when he couldn't understand the arithmetic, for helping him with homework and giving him all that nurture as a small boy. Anyway, he wrote the letter and sent it off to her. Sometime later, he received a letter back from Mrs. Jones, now a very old lady. She wrote, "Dear Billy, thank you so much for your letter. It means so much to me. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of children that I've taught over many, many years, you are the only one that has ever stopped to write a letter of thanks to me. I have read your letter many times each day. It's by my bedside table. It causes me to be so happy, and I cry with tears of joy. I read your letter each night before I go to bed, and will read it every day until I die." Well, when the man read this response from old Mrs. Jones, he was so touched that his letter of thanks and gratitude had touched somebody else's life, that he began to think of other people that had blessed him in the past. And so he wrote letters to them also, thanking them for their input into his life. And what happened was simply this. Instead of relying upon antidepressants, the doctor had very carefully and also wisely helped this man develop something called the attitude of gratitude, which is something that immensely helps every one of our well-being. The Bible says in Psalm 100, the password into God's presence is thank you. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to develop the attitude of gratitude. We live in an ungrateful society. However, God's people should be different. It's once been said that the devil can't sow seeds of discouragement in the heart of a thankful Christian. Sure, the devil is sowing discouragement all around the world, but the one place where he struggles to sow those seeds of discouragement is in the heart of a thankful, grateful Christian. Let me give you some things today that you can thank God for. First of all, I think we should thank God for Jesus. Yes, give thanks for Jesus. Why? Because he is God's gift to us, who is too wonderful for words. I thank God for Jesus. Why? Because he is the faithful and true witness. When Jesus came into our world, he had a lot of opposition from religious people. They hated what he had to say. But despite that opposition, Jesus spoke very clearly and very faithfully about the Father. He revealed that we have a Father in heaven. Jesus also spoke plainly about sin. That's our rebellion against God. That's our wrong attitudes and our bad actions that separate us from God. Jesus spoke about the Father. He spoke about sin. He spoke about how we had become distant from God because of our sin. But he also spoke about the love of God. Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever should believe in him," that's Jesus, "should have everlasting life." Jesus spoke about the patience and the love of a heavenly Father for the people of the world. Jesus also spoke about a life that we could have if we put our trust in him, eternal life. Not just a life for one day when we get to heaven, but a quality, abundant life right now. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life in all its abundance. So I thank God that Jesus was faithful in his teachings. I thank God for his sacrificial death also. Jesus came and he died upon the cross to pay the price for the unrighteous acts that we all commit, for our sins that separated us from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's a spiritual death and a separation from God now, and also an eternal punishment in a place called hell. But Jesus didn't want us to go to hell. The Father didn't want us to go to hell. And so Jesus went through the suffering and the terrible torment and the pain of the cross in order to die in our place so that we could be forgiven. I thank God for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's only through the cross that men can be saved. But I don't just thank God for the cross. I thank God for the resurrection of Jesus as well. For they buried him and sealed him in a tomb. But on the third day, just as he said he would, Jesus rose again from the dead. He is now alive forevermore, and he will live and reign forever. Why? Because he is God. The Bible says that it's through the death and the resurrection of Jesus we can be forgiven of our sins and we can be justified. We're justified by the resurrection of Christ. It means just like you haven't sinned. I thank God for the resurrection of Jesus, but also for the next phase of his mission to go back to heaven, his ascension. Jesus is now ascended to heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he lives and he reigns from heaven, and he ever prays for his people, Christians all around the world. Jesus is in the place of highest honor, but one day he will return again, just as he said, to take all his people from this world that love him and believe in him to heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you shall be also with me forever. I think we should thank God for Jesus. I thank God for this amazing salvation that he's given me and countless others that believe in him. Salvation is the forgiveness of our sin. Sin that spoils our lives, that strips us of life and sentences us to death and eventually hell. Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to get angry and full of unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all our sins, nor does he deal with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the heights of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our rebellious acts as far away from us as the east is from the west." I thank God for this amazing forgiveness. To think that God now has removed all that guilty shame from my life. But I also thank God for restoration and adoption. Salvation is forgiveness, but it's also about being restored back to God. But not just being restored, but adopted, becoming legal children of God with full access to him and full rights as family members to our Heavenly Father's promises and blessings. Romans chapter 8 says, "You should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father." There's a question that people often ask when they hear about this amazing blessing, this amazing life and relationship we can have with God through Jesus. People say, how can I be saved? And I often say it's as simple as ABC. A, admit your sin, admit that you've gone wrong. B, Believe that Jesus loved you and he died in your place upon the cross. And see, choose to receive Jesus into your life. Make a decision to follow him. Make a decision that he will be the Lord of your life. A, B, C. Admit you're wrong. Believe that Christ died for you. Choose to live for him. And the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think we should give thanks to God for Jesus. And we should really begin to live in the fullness of that amazing new life he offers us. I think we should also give thanks to God for the Holy Spirit, for his convicting power in our lives. For the Holy Spirit tells me when I'm going wrong and he strengthens me to do the right thing. He rescues me from falling foul of temptation. Jesus said in John chapter 16, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. I thank God for the Holy Spirit's comforting presence. Jesus said he wouldn't leave us like orphans, but he would send another comforter. And by the word another, it means just like. So Jesus is saying, I'm sending my spirit to you. My spirit is in essence me. I'm coming to you, but in a different form through the Holy Spirit of God. He comforts us. And I thank God for the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. We live in a world that is broken with many difficulties and life is challenging. But the Holy Spirit draws alongside me and comforts me on a daily basis. I thank God for the Holy Spirit's enabling power in us. You see, the limitless, universe-shaking power of God lives in us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. With the Holy Spirit in us, all things are possible. You can face giants. You can face lions. You can crush snakes. You can stand in the fire and take mountains. Why? Because the Holy Spirit strengthens us. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God that the Holy Spirit causes us to be fruitful. You see, the Spirit of the living God is slowly, steadily, and surely making us more and more like Jesus. Galatians chapter 5 says, and when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit or nature of a character of God in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You say, I want that. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. The good news is, you can have the Holy Spirit. If you've loved Jesus and you've welcomed Jesus into your life, you've already got, in essence, the Holy Spirit, but you can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just come to Jesus as your Saviour. Have a thirst for more of God in your life. Believe that God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Believe that it's for you right now today and simply receive it. Jesus said, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's give thanks to God for the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to flow afresh into our lives. I want to give thanks to God for the Bible, for its message. The Bible is infallible truth, revealing the awesome nature and purposes of the living God. I thank God for the Bible because it has healing power. The Bible has the power to penetrate our lives, bringing deep inner healing. That's why the book of Hebrews says in chapter 4, the word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. And when the word of God gets into our lives, it cuts away things deep in our hearts that shouldn't be there. It brings cleansing and sanctification, and it helps us to become more like Jesus. I thank God that the Bible gives us faith-inspiring power. You see, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we read the Bible and see how God did miraculous things for his people in desperate situations in times past, we can dare to believe that God is the same. In fact, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that stood with Daniel in the lion's den, the God that stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, the God that fed the prophet Elijah daily, the God that was able to provide for people and heal people yesterday, is the God that can do mighty things for today. And when we read the Bible, we have this surge of faith going through us, helping us to believe that with God all things are possible. I thank God for the Bible, for its educating power. Paul said to a young pastor called Timothy, all scriptures inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing that God wants us to do. Let's give thanks for the Bible. Let's feed upon its eternal truths. I thank God I have many translations of the Bible sitting on my study shelf. But the Bible on my shelf won't do me any good. I need to take it down, open it, read it, believe it, and apply it to my life. And blessed is the man who reads the word and does the word of God and lives the word of God. That kind of person can expect the blessing of God in their lives. And finally, I want to give thanks to God for the church, for its invincible position. The church has suffered persecution over the years, but it's still growing. Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not prevail against it. I thank God for its incredible mission. That's partnership with Jesus. Jesus paid the price for what he called a great supper. That's the picture of eternal life, blessings now and heaven later. And Jesus wants people to come to this big supper. He wants people to enjoy this eternal life. And he says to the church, I want you to hand out invites to that supper. That's why he said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The local church is a wonderful and welcoming place. It's a place indeed where you can be welcomed, accepted, and feel that you belong. Where you can worship God along with other believers. Where you can be prayed for and you can learn to pray for others and believe for miracles. Where you can listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Bible that will instruct you and help you grow in faith. Where you can use spiritual gifts and be blessed by others that use their gifts in the meetings. Where you can learn to serve God and others, where you can bring your tithes and offerings and give your financial gifts generously to help the work of God, where you can fellowship, where you can hang out with and enjoy life with other Christians. There's no place like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. It's an amazing place. Let me finish by saying Jesus once healed 10 lepers who were diseased, defiled. Their lives were falling apart from this terrible leprosy and they were literally dying. And yet they came to Jesus and they found in Jesus love, mercy, and a miraculous healing, which resulted for them in new life. But the men went on their way. And as they went on their way in this amazing new life and in this blessing of healing and deliverance from leprosy, one of them realized what God had done, what Jesus had done in touching him. So he ran back to where Jesus was and he stopped and he gave thanks. And Jesus said, weren't there 10 of you that got healed? And you've come back to give thanks, but where are the other 9? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 says, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Thank you for listening to this message. We pray that it might bless you. please do feel welcome to join us at Millpool Hill Church soon. We'd love to see you.